right, and we're back. I am your host, Mike. This is episode 42 of the Tap Room Podcast, and this one's fun. We recorded it about 3 weeks ago with Ryan. We got to do our brew day. It was the first time I got to brew anything. So it was really fun, man. Like, we got to just, like, from start to finish, like, he showed me the ropes, he showed me everything. So it was really awesome to be able to experience that with him. And honestly, Ryan is such a nice guy. It's at Big Pop Brewing on Instagram. The guy's doing it all right now. I mean, and I know I mentioned it before when I had him back on in July, but, you know, he distills, like, you know, he's a brewer. He's such a pro. Like, he's so awesome at that. And then he's also started Hazard's Hop Water. So, I mean, definitely check them out on Instagram as well. I got to try the hop water. And for anybody that knows me, I love sparkling water. I'm not a fancy dude, but I enjoy bubbly and all that sort of stuff. I go through that stuff like crazy. But Ryan's Hazard Hop Water, like the Citra Lime, was like, holy shit, it was so good. Also, shout out to his wife too. She's at the Traveling Hansons, I believe it is, on Instagram. So definitely check that out. She helps people like turn their points into use their points for trips and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. So definitely give them a follow. So I'll put the timestamp in the description for when the interview starts. I'm not going to hold up too long on the intro. Also, at the end of the episode, I am going to put in, did a little segment yesterday with Drea from Louis Liquor over on Foothill and Cerritos in Azusa, California. So if you have a chance to go down there and donate a toy or something like that, or an unwrapped toy, they're just really cool. And they got a bunch of new stuff in the store this week. So definitely check them out if you're in the area. But I'm going to start it off here, actually. So I got to record a couple weeks ago with Art at LA Brew Life. Oh, such an awesome dude. Definitely, you know, give him a follow. But yeah, he brought me a couple of beers. This one's a Chicano Lager, a Stilo. It's pretty awesome though. I can't wait to. I want to take a picture of this this beer with. It's next to like a lowrider or something, but it's a collab between Brewery Yard and the Pachuco Car Club. So that's pretty awesome. It has like lowriders on there, stuff like that. It's pretty cool. So let's go ahead and let's crack her open there, eh? See what we got. And it's the Chicano Lager. It's coming in at 5%. This one's gonna be crushable, I'm sure. The hops are Magnum, yeast California Common, grain two-row, wheat, corn, and Piloncillo. I'm assuming that's how it's pronounced, but let's go ahead and crack her open, eh? Oh, yeah. Let's get a little something there. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get a little something, then I'll drink the rest of it off here. Here we go. Oh, yeah. That's pretty damn good. For being almost pretty much, it says like Chicano lager, but like a Mexican lager, that's pretty damn solid. Let's see. Oh, yeah, man, Stilo is a light Chicano lager brewed with yellow maize, piloncillo sugar. And this collaboration celebrates the Pachuco Car Club's 20 years of like-minded vintage auto enthusiasts. That's pretty awesome, man. And that's pretty damn good. I'd give that a solid 8.85. That's pretty damn good. And the 18, it's only 18 IBUs. There's no bitterness to it. It's super clear. It's crisp. It's refreshing. So definitely, if you ever get down to Brew Yard, Brew Yard's really awesome. I get to talk to Josh there. When was that? Back in January sometime, I want to say. But a really nice guy, one of their brewers. So definitely check them out. Excuse me, had to let that out. Some headlines. The college football championship week was this week. Georgia goes down and beats Bama. Florida State holds on to beat Louisville. Michigan pretty much throttled Iowa. And let's see, Oregon ended up losing. So I think a lot of people thought Oregon was going to beat them the second time around, but Washington pulled it out again and they looked really good. So, like, the top four is set right now, and there's a lot of controversy going on. There's a ton of it. So, Michigan is one, Washington is two, Texas is three, Alabama 4. And then you have Florida State 5, who ended up winning the ACC and undefeated. You got to feel for their Arizona State family. They like going undefeated like that, losing your quarterback. And that's the only reason the committee left them out, because they maybe for competitiveness, like maybe they thought that they'd go in there and probably get throttled by another team. But if they had their quarterback, you know, it'd be a different story. But still, how do you go undefeated and get left out? And then Georgia as well. Like, it's not like Georgia got blown out. They lost by 3 points to Alabama, who's been playing really good football lately. And they fell out of the top four. That doesn't make any sense. Like, to me, if Alabama, say Alabama was number one, and Georgia was ranked like 15, and Georgia had no shot at getting in the playoff, and Georgia barely beat Alabama by 3, Bama would not have fallen out of the top four. That's how I see it. I mean, and I feel like just from years of experience watching college football, there's no chance in hell that would have happened. I just find it weird that they would do that to Georgia, who's been, you know, had won 30 straight games. That just seems a little crazy to me, but I don't get paid to make those decisions. So there you go. A lot going on. SC got a new D coordinator. They got, Danton Lynn from UCLA. Kind of surprised there. Jonathan Smith is going to Michigan State. Never really thought I would have seen him leave Oregon State. So that's pretty crazy. What else we got going on? MLB playoffs. I mean, not MLB playoffs. Wow. MLB winter meetings start this week. So that shit, I mean, things are going to get pretty crazy. And obviously the big fish in the pond is Ohtani. So we'll see where he lands. I mean, he's probably going to end up being a Dodger, but it is what it is. We'll see how that all plays out. Like I said, I don't want to make this a long intro or anything like that. So we're going to jump into the interview with Ryan. I really hope you guys enjoy it. Like I said, he's such an awesome dude, you know, opening his home to me and, you know, teaching me all these different things. It's definitely give him a follow at Big Pop Brewing. All right. Well, guys, I hope you guys have a good week, but I'll say that in the outro. All right. Well, stay tuned for the interview with Ryan. Oh, and I also forgot to mention before I jump into the interview, I did go down to Lost Winds yesterday, got to, you know, hang out there and, you know, one of my favorite places in San Clemente. They had some really good pizza there yesterday, their food vendor. But there's also, Jizzy did one, I did one, and Navi did a couple bonus beer reviews at the end of the episode. So stay tuned for that. And obviously stay tuned for Drea from Louie's Liquor. All right. All right, guys, we're back in the tap room. I actually made a trip up to Clovis that we had kind of planned last time I was here. And I'm here with Ryan Hansen.
What's up, what's up?
AKA Big Pop Brewing. What's going on, brother?
How's it going, man? I'm glad you're here.
Oh, yeah? No, glad. Bright and early. Getting in a brew day, right?
We are indeed.
And what are we brewing today?
Today we're making our Beppy's Brown. So I've got a house recipe for each one of my kids. And my fourth child has been super bummed that his is the only one not on tap. So for weeks, he's been bugging me to make this. And there you go. Not that they drink them, but yeah. He likes seeing his logo up on the tap handle. So
of course,
that's what we're making.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, it's pretty sweet because you can see all the kids on the artwork on the tap handles.
Yeah, they got their own logos and everything. So they're based off of their nicknames. So Rooney's Red, Lulu's IPA. Bubba's Porter, which we're going to dig into right after our coffee because that one's a breakfast beer. And today we're making the Beppy's Brown.
Awesome. Yep. Yeah, I can't wait. I got to put in the mash. Mm-hmm. We've been stirring it every few minutes, trying to get that thing going, and then super excited. But you just got back, well, not just got back, but recently came back from a pretty long trip.
Yeah. We went to Europe for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And so we've been planning this one for a couple of years. My wife does travel blogging, and she's a content maker. So it was a gold mine for that, but also putting our money where our mouth is, just trying to prove to people like, hey, yeah, with the right credit card signups, you get those signup bonuses.
Yeah.
You play the game right and you can travel for super cheap or free. So yeah, I was really proud of her. She got the price tag down from over 25,000, probably what it cost. Airfare, hotels, and all of that, and yeah. We did it for under $5,000. So,
awesome!
In 3 weeks, we hit up London, Paris. We went to Zurich in Switzerland, Venice, and Rome, and Florence. So, yeah, it was
that sounds
like
awesome.
4 or 5 days in all of those. So, yeah, dude, it was kick-ass.
Yeah. And how was the beer?
You know what? Europe, the craft beer scene is not as hot as it is here. Yeah. I did go out of my way, and I found some cool bottle shops.
Okay.
And wherever we went, I tried to ask for whatever was locally made.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm not really complaining because everywhere there, it's like killer pilsners and just, you know, the lighter lagers,
yeah,
which is my go-to when I'm not, you know, tasting or doing beer judging and things like that. So the Crispy Boys, that game was strong, but
nice.
I didn't even see a single actual brewery in action. So I was super bummed because I was hoping to get in there and, you know, talk shop in different languages, but didn't get the chance. But
okay,
it's all good. One day, actually, not one day, we know exactly when. For my 40th birthday next year, we're going to Dublin. So I'll get to see Guinness. We're going to go, you know, find some whiskey distilleries and things like that. So that'll be killer too.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
And so when you were like in Rome or any of those places, was there any like specific like spots you guys like would recommend people to go? And also before we say that, your wife's Instagram, is it at the Traveling Hansons?
At the Traveling Hansons, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for the plug, man.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. Dude, so she had a couple of reels go viral.
Awesome.
And she started that like a year ago and was super excited when she passed me up and then had a couple of reels go viral and she like tripled her following
in
2 weeks. And so she's still riding that wave. Like I'm sure she's breached 10,000 here. And she's been at it like way less time than I have. And I'm like, dang it, that's not fair.
Social media, man.
Yeah. But her target audience is much bigger than mine.
Of course, everybody
wants to travel where it's like, oh, you want to know my tap cleaning schedule? Nobody really cares about that.
Yeah.
So, it makes sense, but I'm super proud of her. So she's out in North Carolina speaking at a travel conference and all of that. So yeah, really proud of her.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And for what she does, and like you guys, I think you were telling me earlier, it was like normally it would be like a $25,000-$30,000 trip, something like that.
Oh yeah. And so out of pocket, we saved up $5,000 for food, you know, local transportation and things like that. But everything else was covered with points and
that's
miles.
Awesome.
So yeah, she killed it. Yeah.
That's freaking
sweet.
Get to
show the kids the world and, yeah, go see new places.
I bet. I mean, that just seems like a kick-ass time. But like I was saying, were there any places that you guys went to and you were like, man, this is like, you know, even better than we like dreamed it could have been or imagined it could have been?
Paris was awesome. We really liked that. In London, we got out of the town. We've got family there. So right outside of London, the name of the town is eluding me. But we got to see, you know, I mean, you're walking around in places where their cobblestone street is, you know, 6,000 years older than America.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, like little Roman troops walked on these streets. And so it's fascinating to show that to the kids. And they're homeschoolers too. So that was totally like taking a semester abroad and just exploring. So as far as food and drink goes, honestly, any of the big tourist spots, don't go there. Go off the beaten path. Just take a walk like a mile into one of the local neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And you'll find, like I found a tiny little restaurant off the beaten path and they had local craft beer on tap. And I was like, dude, this is it. Let's go. And so obviously the wife was doing Aperol spritzes and Hugo spritzes. Those
there
are the rage right now. So only advice is don't go to anywhere that's like right off one of the main streets because you're going to get price gouged and it's all, you know, they don't need return customers because they have a constant influx of tourists.
Oh yeah.
So go off the beaten path, go where the locals go, ask your Uber driver, things like that. So
awesome.
Yeah.
And if there was only one of those places you could have gone, which one would you think it would have, you would have chosen?
I don't know. The exact names of the places are eluding me, but
it's all good. But even like the country, so like whichever country you went to.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah.
Florence is awesome. Rome was very touristy, so I would probably not go there with a big family again. It was cool, but you know, public transportation, it was hot. It's just,
I bet.
I mean, they thrive on tourism, so of course. But obviously seeing the Vatican was cool, but my seven-year-old's getting bored because the audio tour that's 2 hours long, he does not care.
Yeah.
Definitely Paris, man. Paris is so cool. You go to the main sites and you get to see the famous stuff, but then every little neighborhood has its own cafe on the side and just like sit and people watch. Mm-hmm. I love Paris.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking sweet. And there's one place I've always wanted to go to Italy, honestly, mostly just for the food.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see the countryside and stuff like that, but I'm such a, like, when I cook, like, I mean, I love all different things, but pasta for me, is is everything. Because I cook a ton of pasta. I eat a lot of, make a lot of pasta. But I just feel like I would just go there and just eat and probably come back 50 pounds heavier.
Dude, it's so much better. And because of all the walking, like, you're not gaining weight or anything. Yeah. It's just a totally different approach. And the ingredients are so much cleaner now too. Yeah. Like, I've heard of folks that have gluten sensitivity go to Italy and they could eat the pasta.
Yeah.
And it's because it's just not highly processed. Mm-hmm. There's not all that garbage that's going in. And so maybe gluten, maybe something else that's triggering that. We just have honed in on that here in America. But you go there and it's just, you can tell it's fresh. We did a cooking class in Florence. And so it's at this lady's apartment and all the kids got in there. They're like kneading the dough and making the tagliatelle. And so we from scratch made pasta, cooked it and ate it. And it was like the coolest experience ever. So super fun. Super fun.
That's awesome, man. I mean, sounds like a kick-ass time.
Yep.
And I always wanted, always thought it'd be cool as shit to, if you're in Italy, to meet some old grandma that's been doing it for
dude, she wasn't old. That's all she does. That's her job, is to teach tourists to do this pasta class. Super friendly. And she was French living in Italy.
Oh wow.
And so I got to chop it up with her in both English, German and French.
Oh, awesome.
And so it was really fun. She was like, nobody can do that. And I was like, yeah we can.
That's freaking cool, man.
Yeah, it was a blast.
No, that's good, man. Well, I'm glad you and the fam got to, get away and have a trip like that, because, that's super important, especially nowadays when everything's kind of crazy and stuff like that, but you can have some family time like that and enjoy time with your wife and kids. That's cool.
Yeah, we had a total blast.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I also want to talk about hazards.
Yes.
Tell us all about it.
So much fun. Dude, I actually just posted about it last night. I was so proud. I have two partners. So one's my marketing director, and he does all the website and all of that stuff. Him and I, his name is Michael from Coppergate Design, and he specializes in launching brands. And he'd had a lot of experience doing that. Him and I met on Instagram off of an ad that he put, because I was like, dude, I want to learn your process. And, and if I need to send customers your way, I want to make sure that you're legit. And he is. So him and I had been talking on the side. A buddy locally, Ben, he is now our sales and distribution manager.
Okay.
And I'm production. So Ben and I were sitting here drinking a hop water. I made one for a Brewlosophy experiment. And he's like, dude, this is so good. We should actually make it. And I'm like, what are you talking about, man? I need another job and side gig. Like, I need a stick in the eye. And he's like, no, let's keep it small. Let's grow organic and, no debt. Let's just keep it simple. And I was like, okay, but we're going to need somebody to do all of the digital stuff. That's just, it's time consuming. It's not my strong point. So I was like, okay, let me see what I can do. And so I reached out to Michael. We had our first meeting, I want to say, in August, where we sat down and we're like, okay, I was in Europe, sitting in an Airbnb having this meeting, and I was like, okay, let's figure this out. Who are we going to market it to? What is the sweet spot for this market? And we landed on golf courses because one, it's price insensitive, which means that, folks don't mind shelling over X amount for a drink. I mean, a 19-ounce can is what, $7-$9 there?
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, we could sell a can of hop water for $5.50. And we just backed into the numbers, decided, okay, golf courses, cans by the case only. Yeah. So there's no online ordering, no shipping, yeah. no anything like that. And we're going to start local. So we landed on that. Michael goes crazy with the branding, came up with like super cool, like retro golf theme yeah. thing. So our main guy is the golf ball, and we named him Hazard. Just after, you know, Hazard's
of course, in, yeah.
on the golf course. And so he landed on the name and like just made everything in like 2 weeks. We're like, holy crap, like, is this yeah. happening? Yeah. And so we're like, okay, I guess we need a website next and yeah. Pre-sale forms and all of that. So before we even canned a single batch, other than my own test batches that I just had on tap here, we were going out and testing the market to see if there was an interest. And every single golf course is like, wait, you're going to give me a non-alcoholic option. It's kind of hoppy. But it's perfectly clean and healthy. You yeah. literally chug it all day long. I do. And so it hydrates you. You don't feel like you're going without if you're the designated driver
yeah,
or you
sure.
don't want to drink or you can't drink for whatever reason. Or just catch up in between beers. You're like,
yeah.
you know, our whole tagline is you suck at golf.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's going crazy. Local breweries are reaching out. They want to carry it as one of their NA options.
Awesome.
It's at my barber shop.
There you go.
So yeah, we did that. Launched a website. So, hazardshopwater.com. It's hazards_hopwater on Instagram, and you can kind of watch us grow from there. But yeah, from that first meeting in August until our first sale, it was almost exactly two, not almost, it was exactly 2 months.
Wow.
Which, and we did it, I'm producing at one of the local breweries nearby.
Okay.
So I didn't have to get my own space and rent
yeah.
it. I put a 3.5-barrel fermenter there, and
nice.
I use their hot side. So, I mean, the brew day is like 2 hours compared to 5 for beer.
Yeah.
Super easy ingredients to manage, so I don't have to worry about grains and anything. And I don't compete with the local breweries because we have such a good beer scene here.
Oh,
I've been
yeah.
like scratching my head. I'm like, how can I launch and do it right, like without $2 million and
yeah.
go big? So just growing organically, completely debt-free, and
awesome,
just
man.
Having a blast, dude. And so more recurring orders are coming, and that kind of dictates how much I need to make. But yeah, as far as side gig goes, it's cool on both on, yes, it's succeeding, which is great, but I also get to prove to my consulting clients, like, hey, look, I've actually done it. I know
yeah.
how to do this. You can trust
exactly,
me.
Yeah.
And it works the same thing for Michael, too. As a branding agency, he's like, yeah, no, we know how to do this. And proof is in the pudding. So
yeah.
Kind of a case study and that. And so we've structured it to where we plan to grow it and eventually sell it. Like, I don't want to run it and turn into the next, you know, giant company.
Yeah.
And so we'll see where it goes.
That's
we'll see
awesome,
where it goes. I give it, I don't know, a 5-year run and just keep supplying locally and see if we can grow. We'll probably go to like Phoenix next.
Yeah.
Big golf area. And then
oh, for sure.
Start tackling the big tours and get sponsors and things like that. And so,
that'd
yeah.
be freaking sweet, man.
Yep. That's the goal.
And you're going to get there. I have no doubt.
Dude, mind. If I could take it full time tomorrow, I would. It's so much fun. It's
I
so
bet.
Much fun.
I mean, yeah. that's the thing. Like, when you're doing something you really care about and, like, you know, you truly love, and, like, you know, we've kind of talked a little bit about that off air. But, I mean, being able to do that and be able to have that, you know, just that almost not say, like, freedom, but you have that kind of that I was going to say, was it joie de vivre or whatever? Is that
oh,
French?
Oh, totally. Yeah. yeah, the joy of living.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it would offer time freedom. Just you wake up in the morning, and you're like, all right, what are we going to tackle today? Let's do it.
Yep.
And just make baby steps and kind of let the business flow.
For sure.
So,
man.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, got to keep it on going. So we're brewing the Bebby?
The Beppy's Brown.
Beppy's Brown,
yeah.
Okay. And for the listeners, mm-hmm. or should we get a beer first and then jump
we
into the whole brew process?
Totally get a beer.
We should
let's
get a beer.
It.
All right, let's grab one. Well, we got our brewskis.
Cheers.
Cheers, brother. This is a Bubba's Porter. What's the percentage on this one?
This one's 8%.
Ooh, there we go.
Yep.
Right up my alley.
Yeah, the goal was Irish coffee stout and not like whiskey in it. Not like Irish coffee, but yeah, so dark chocolate, a little bit of coffee notes in there. I think it came out pretty good. It's not nitro, but I wanted the mouthfeel to be super soft and
that
came through. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I just told you a second before we got back on. It was like velvety, creamy, super smooth.
Yeah.
And you definitely get those coffee notes to it, and it's, man, that's killer.
Breakfast beer for days.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you need a good breakfast beer.
Yep.
So everybody listening can kind of know, like, the whole process of what we're doing today with the brew. Could you run through that for us?
Absolutely. We'll keep it high level, but essentially, beer making is pretty straightforward, and folks... brewers joke that brewers make wort, which is unfermented beer, and then yeast makes beer because it converts all those sugars. So we started with this is just a 5-gallon batch. So we started with 7.5 gallons of reverse osmosis water, added our salts, so gypsum, calcium chloride, and Epsom salt. And that's going to help with the mouthfeel, head retention, different variables. It helps extract the sugars from the grains that we put in. So we put about overall 13 pounds of grain, so 10 pounds of a British two row, and then some crystal malts and some coffee malt also, or yeah, this one was coffee malt. Those get milled, put right into that water inside of a big basket. Some folks use a bag at this scale. In a brewery, you're adding that to a mash tun that has a false bottom, so it's like a screen at the bottom, and that it's just going to recirculate over itself. And so the grains themselves act as the filter for getting all of that stuff out. So the water at a specific temperature is going to extract the sugars, carbohydrates, and other things from the grains. And so after we're going to let this one sit for an hour total, after you poured it in and we stirred it up, it's sitting there at an hour at 150 degrees. We're going to pull those grains out. And then what's left is basically like sugar water.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get that up to a boil. During the boil, we start adding the hops. And so we've got bittering hops, aroma hops. And so depending on which hop you choose and when you add it, it's going to behave a little bit differently.
Okay.
And so that's all part of recipe creation, is knowing what to use and when. Once it is done boiling, we're going to chill it down to under 80 degrees and get it into a fermenter, where we're going to get it to 68 degrees, which is when we add the yeast. So the yeast is going to turn all of those sugars and all the goodies in that water or in that wort into yeast multiplying and eating, produces CO2 and alcohol. So that's where the alcohol comes from.
Gotcha.
It's a byproduct of that fermentation. And yeah, that's and then cold crash it, get it down to as close to serving temperature as possible, so 34 degrees. Get it into a keg where I'm going to force carbonate it, and it'll be on tap in, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks.
Awesome.
So, before we put it into the fermenter, I'll show you how we're going to check its gravity. So that's how we determine what alcohol percentage it's going to be at the end.
Okay.
So it's pretty simple math. We check it before it ferments, and then we check it again after it ferments. And there's a simple equation in an app, and you just plug that in, and it's like, cool, this one I'm targeting about 5%. And so we'll see how close to that we get.
Awesome.
So it'll be good.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
I'm sure it's going to be killer. I mean, all the stuff that I've had that you've done has been pretty damn phenomenal. Thank you. So you're a master of your craft.
Mm.
Cheers, brother.
Thank you. Oh, so good once it hits your lips.
What is he saying? Old school's up. Well, I'm just gonna do one.
Yeah.
Oh, he's gonna do one. Oh man, that's awesome.
Cool. With that, it's time to mash out.
Let's do it.
So we're just gonna raise that basket out and let it drain while we bring that wort up to a boil.
Sounds good. We'll be back. All right, man, we're back.
There you go.
Yeah. So we
mashed out. There so that means that we lifted the grain basket and it's draining into it now. At a brewery, we would have had to do lautering and sparging. So that's recirculating the wort onto itself. so that all of the particulate matters, the pieces of grain, the things like that, they're being stopped by the grain bed itself, and it acts like a filter. And then you're running that, you change the flow to go into the boil kettle.
Yeah.
And so as it's going to the boil kettle, now you're also sparging, which means rinse, and you're basically raining water on top of it to rinse the rest out. Yeah. So because a 5-gallon batch is pretty easy to manage, I can do everything in one single vessel with a full volume of water.
That's awesome.
At breweries, you can't do that. Also, a lot of homebrew setups, you also have to do that. So you're just like, you know, pouring a couple gallons of hot water over those grains to rinse all the starches and sugars out. We don't have to worry about that here because the simple brew-in-a-bag setup. So yeah, what you're hearing in the background is the heating element killing it. It's bringing us up to a boil, and that'll probably only take like 15 minutes.
Awesome.
So once we hear it boiling, that's when we're going to dump those grains and then start adding our hops.
Yeah, and you got a pretty sick-ass wench up there too.
Yeah, the Harbor Freight Special.
There you go.
I used to have to climb up onto the table with a stepladder, literally stand over the kettle and like hoist it up. And so, you know, bigger batches, 10 or 15 gallon batches, that you got like 30, 40 pounds of soaking grain, which is no joke when you're trying to lift it up over your head.
Oh, yeah.
And then put little clips to let it rest on there. So yeah, the winch was a lifesaver, $150. And I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Biggest.
Nice. Save yourself some time.
Best investment I've made out here in a long time.
I'm assuming that's the stepladder you used to use?
That is the stepladder, yes. And so I'd be wiping the table down, or somebody would come over and they're like, why are there footprints all over this? I'm like, yeah, that was me. Yeah. So instead of throwing my back out, I decided to upgrade to that. So,
there you go.
Yeah.
Save your back, save, you know, and save some time too.
Yeah, yeah. The kids like taking it up and down on rides too. So I've got like a strap that they sit in. Dad, can I do it?
Yeah.
All right.
That's pretty freaking awesome. I mean, like, because it doesn't look like when you see like a winch like that with like that kind of, it's not a string obviously, but it's like, you know, the
cable.
Yeah, the cable. That's that. I couldn't think of the word. The cable, you would think, like, it, you know, can't do, like, that much, like, you know, handle that much weight, but, man, they're freaking so strong.
Oh, dude, that thing can pick up a car.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a video game, I'm bringing up video games, but there's a video game called Uncharted 4, and there's one part where you're, like, hanging on to a tree, like, on a winch, actually in a Jeep, and you're, like, on the side of, like, a mountain, trying to, having the winch pull you back up.
I think that winch is actually designed for Jeeps.
Oh, like, dang.
It's to pull yourself out of mud. So you would like release it, go loop it around a tree, and then pull your car forward out of the mud. That's what that winch is for.
Yeah.
At least ATVs. I don't know about car. Maybe I'm overstressing it, but it's an ATV or a Jeep. It's got the mounts for a car.
Gotcha. I'm going to have to show you that clip later, because I'm sure they have the clip on YouTube.
So. Yeah.
From that video game.
Yep.
So what's been what else has been going on, brother? I know, like, how's your other job? Are you still traveling to other breweries to help them set up all their stuff? Or, like, to give them their configuration and all that?
Yeah, the Big Pop Brewing Consulting is we're doing good. I brought on a couple of partners.
And awesome.
So now I have a CPA, two professional brewers, and a marketing guy. So anything that a brewery can throw at me problem wise I've got somebody on the team that I can bring in and say, hey, we're dealing with efficiency issues. It's like, cool. Well, hey, Spencer, you have, you know, 15 years of professional brewing experience, and you're the Lean Six Sigma certified, like, help us sort this issue out so that we can get more beer out the door more efficiently. And
for
so
sure.
The production bottlenecks. The vast majority of folks have just issues keeping proper books and keeping track of their COGS, their cost of goods sold. And so finding that, bring the price down, that's kind of my sweet spot, is like, hey, what opportunities are you missing? And yeah, I mean, to date, I can proudly say this, every single client that I've worked with has either saved or made like four times what my fees were within the first year. And so that's always my goal. I'm like, dude, if we have our first interview check-in call and we can't see, if I can't see light at the end of the tunnel like that, I'm like, hey, look, you're doing fine. You really don't need me.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty proud to say that. So yeah, one of my breweries that I've worked with out in Ohio, they just started construction, and I'm super proud of them. And
awesome.
Like coming to fruition. That'll be the first time that I actually took somebody from business plan review all the way through equipment selection, layout design. I didn't get into marketing. They hired a marketing company for that, but everything outside of that, like down to which pump to pick.
Yeah.
I got to help them with that, and they're going to go live in like March or April next year. And I cannot wait to fly out there and cut the ribbon with them. And it's like, dude, this is so awesome. Yeah. So I'm really, really proud of them. There's actually a really cool concept. They're doing a coffee shop brewery combo.
Okay.
And so there's two couples, and so four of them, and dude, they're gonna kill it. They're in like a walking community, so everybody's awesome. Like
a lot of tons of foot traffic.
I don't want to say captive audience, but it's everybody there, and they're gonna kill it. So yeah,
grab a coffee and a brew.
Their beer's gonna be great. And in my head right away, I was like picturing like, dude, that is where I would go. I'll work on my laptop. 5 o'clock rolls around, they're ringing a bell. They're like, all right, laptop's off, and yeah. Slap your laptop shut and like get that first pint. So it's gonna be awesome. So there's a 10 barrel system, exact same setup that I used to brew on. And yeah, they're gonna kill it.
That's awesome.
Super excited for them. So
that's so cool. And because like, you know, obviously I love hearing like anytime somebody's passionate about something, I love hearing that in their voice, and clearly you can hear it in yours. But one thing I love about it too is that like how what you said, how if you feel like that they don't really need your help, and you like you tell them like, yeah, like I think you guys are okay.
100%. Yeah.
But there's so many people out there that would try to take advantage of that situation and be like, oh no, you should do this or you should do that. Even if it's something, you know, not minuscule, but like something like the smallest little thing. Yeah. And you don't, and you know, and take advantage of, you know, small business and stuff like that.
No, any time that comes up, I'll just offer something where it's like, hey, I'll do a secret sipper to where your employees don't know who I am. I'm going to go in, do basic assessment of, you know, I'll get a flight. And so I'll test your flagship beers, give you some feedback and review on that. But I'm also paying attention to how the beer tenders are behaving, and are they welcoming? Are they, you know, basic things. And so the outcome of that is basically a score chart, exactly like you'd think the secret shopper kind of thing goes on.
Yeah, for sure.
How do they handle a refund request, or are they saying key phrases like, hey, next time you should try this? So it's like just basic phrases that implant into people like, one, you're welcome here, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Two, I can't wait to see you next time.
Yeah.
And you know, the pinnacle, and I've done this at one brewery, was if the bartender, and it was always the same two bartenders, so that they had the locals that would come in.
Okay.
If they didn't remember your name by the third or fourth time you come in, then the pint is on us.
Oh,
and so
that's
they
cool.
challenged themselves to like remember faces.
Yeah.
And obviously you can cheat and you got their credit card right away when they're opening a tab. But point was like, hey, Norm.
Yeah,
like, come
I was
on
just
in.
Gonna
like,
say, yes,
that's
Normie,
what
yeah.
that's how you encourage regulars to come back and bring their friends, because they feel welcome and appreciated when they show up. And so but yeah, I've turned down quite a few breweries where I felt like they were doing pretty good, and just gave them a couple of pointers like, hey, work on these for the next 6 months, and if you still haven't seen an improvement in X, then now call me in.
Yeah.
I'll come do an on-site assessment and all that. So it's good. The biggest challenge is getting the word out that you know, folks aren't they're at home stressing over their business, and they don't know to reach out and get a consultant because it's just not that common.
Yeah.
In business, it's a lot easier. It's like, hey, I'm a marketing company. I know I need a consultant to come in and help me streamline my operations, how my scheduling goes, which employee to hire next, and all of that stuff. Breweries, we don't have that mentality, because most of us started as home brewers, and we're like, ah, we're going to figure it out as we go.
Where you can skip a lot of those steps by just, you know, reaching out to someone like you and be able to not stress about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, be able to have that. Sometimes you need to outsource, and you know, and if you can do that and kind of alleviate some of the stress that you have and, you know, stuff like that, it's like, and if it makes your life easier, I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
Yep. So, you know, and then everybody's strapped for cash.
Of course.
So, writing a check for consulting services gets painful, but if I can show, no, if we do XYZ,
yeah,
this is your homework for the next 6 months. When I come back in 6 months, you'll be like, dude. And yeah, every single time that's happened.
Yeah. And I think that's cool. Like we talked about like that secret zipper and then like them, like, you know, their norms, their cliffs and stuff like that.
Cause yeah,
sometimes you just want to go where everybody knows your name.
Yep.
Not a Cheers plug, but I love Cheers. So.
It's a good show.
As I say, like everybody probably knows on their show. I mention it probably way too often, but, you know, but that's awesome though, because, and we talked about like the beer tenders, like, you know, them knowing their name, like them like, oh, maybe you should try this next time. Cause I feel like beer education too for beer tenders is,
oh, totally,
super essential. Yep. Like, and that's why I feel like people that do beer education, like Chris, down at Pure, or like Rachel over in, for like Bonehouse over in Phoenix. Like that's, to me, like that's so badass, because there's so many times you walk into a brewery and they're like, I'm like, oh, like, what do you recommend? Or like, what is this like? And they're like, it's a hazy.
Yeah. No, they need to be. Rachel is awesome, by the way. We're working together the Beer Babes family.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a live next week. So it'll actually probably be after this posts. But yeah. I'm going to be their technical consultant, if you want to call that. And so as they're deciding which applications to give their grant to.
Yeah.
So huge shout out to Beer Babes family, by the way.
Oh,
their,
yeah, for
their,
sure.
Their mission is to get grants to women-owned breweries, mm-hmm, or women brewers who need to expand by buying a new fermenter or doing whatever. And so I joined them as kind of the technical guy. So when doing the interviews to decide who to give that grant to, I can help channel that money to the right, not only to the right individual or brewery, but to the right place in there. So somebody might think like, oh, I need to expand by getting a bigger glycol chiller. I might be like, hey, look, low-hanging fruit here. $1,000 to $5,000 would probably be better spent doing X.
Okay.
And so I'm going to be participating with them. So I met with all of their board members, and so I'm really excited to see where that goes. That it's a win-win, because then if those clients are like, hey, I need a consultant later, the network. But also, it's just really cool to promote the lady brewers.
Oh, for sure.
I'm a huge fan of opening that market up.
Oh, yeah. So. Because there's not enough of them. I mean, that's like, to me, that's so cool. I mean,
women and minority brewers, both.
Oh, for sure. Like,
we got to open this thing up. It's an old white dudes club.
Oh, yeah. And it's look at the tap room, just bringing people together.
Yep. I like it.
No, I love it, man. That's cool.
Yep.
And I mean, yeah, and like you said, she's super awesome. Like, she, like, I reached out to her like when we did that episode, and she was just like, yeah, let's do this. I was like, it's freaking sweet. Like, so we got to have a few beers.
She's so smart too.
Yeah, like, super smart. Stuff. And, you know, and be able to just to hear like how like the whole beer, you know, like the history of beer, mm-hmm, and all this other stuff. So, I mean, it was, that's freaking badass. I mean, that's so cool that you're doing that with the Beer Babes family too.
Yeah.
I'm going to have another sip of this sucker.
Yep.
You guys didn't even know we were gone, but we were gone for a second. Had to pour in the hops. And what were the hops we were using?
So we're using Northern Brewer. We just added 1 ounce at the beginning of the boil. So typical boil is about an hour. And throughout that hour, you add the different hops. So the ones that we just added are going to add the backbone bitterness to that, because the time at boiling is going to extract the alpha acids out of that. So it's the essential oils that add bitterness. The ones that we add later will only have like 5 minutes of contact time in a boil. And so those are going to be more of the aroma and flavor hops.
Okay.
Yeah. And for this one, we're using only Northern Brewer. It's a super simple recipe, easy to make. And yeah, I dig it. Yeah. I like to keep them simple and stick with classic styles. I'll go crazy and do like weird sours and stuff too sometimes. But
yeah,
having these ones, the flagship beers, are all like very basic recipes that I've refined over the years.
Awesome. Yep. You know what I'd love to do? Maybe we can try to plan something for, because it's November now, but maybe sometime for next year, maybe we can do like a New Zealand style, like West Coast or something like that.
Dude, use Mochueca, some of the like crazy hops that are coming out of Australia. Oh, yeah. I love it. Love it.
Dude, man, you know what's crazy? Yeah. Like anything I see that says New Zealand on it, I'm like, all right, just take my money, because I'm gonna have it.
Yeah.
It was a brewery. Oh no, it was a Green Cheek. So I was at Green Cheek last I'm going to say last week, but this was going to come out in a couple of weeks or a few weeks. But yeah, I went to Green Cheek and they had one called Pullen Levers, and it was a New Zealand stout pilsner.
A stout pilsner?
No, just a New Zealand style pilsner.
Oh, I was like, what is a stout pilsner? That's like, that's like driving slow fast.
But it was, it was a New Zealand style pilsner, and it was, I was like, holy shit. It was like 5%, super crushable, super crisp and clean and just, you know, delicious. And I was like, why don't you guys can this? And I want to get Evan Price on the show one time. Just, he's like a white whale for me.
Dude, you let me know. I'll be there. Yeah. We'll talk nerd. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Well, even like when I was talking to Daniel from Beer Paper, he was, you know, he was like late for the podcast. And I was like, dude, you could more than like, feel free to be late, because he was talking to Ian McCall and, you know, who's going to opening ISM. It was him and Evan. Evan was interviewing Ian. And I was just like, what I would have given to just be a fly on the wall on that interview.
That's funny. I was talking to a buddy last night. He's like, why aren't you at BC's Pizza today? It's the Firestone Walker Top Takeover. And he texts me. He's like, oh, hey, I just met Nick Firestone. And I was like, no, I'm at home with all the kids and I can't go. I was like, please tackle him, hold him there.
Yeah. Damn.
That'd have been fun to meet him. No other reason than to just bow at their greatness.
Oh yeah.
So, and I know they sold and they're quote unquote big beer, but you know what? They're putting out some amazing stuff. Their Barrel Works project is off the hook. I love their beer.
That's awesome, so, man.
Yeah.
And what do we got another one we're drinking.
This is Lulu's IPA. This is a basic Westie. I want to say off the top of my head, cheers, brother.
Cheers.
6.5%. Perfect. Just the classic Simcoe Citra combo mosaic, little bit of dry hop, and I mean, clarity came out good. She's been in a keg for a couple of weeks, so it's nice and crisp.
Yep. I was gonna be like, hot damn.
Yep. So yeah, I'm proud of this one too. It doesn't bite you in the face with bitterness, which I usually like. But because I want to have more than one at a time, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to mellow this one out a little bit.
For sure, though. So. It's super crushable. Mm-hmm. It is crisp, and it's like the clarity on it's freaking great. And I love the color.
Oh, yeah. She's beautiful. The head retention's good. See the lacing on the glass and all that. So, she's happy.
Oh, yeah. No, that's that'll get you there for sure.
Yep.
Because then, I mean, it kind of seems like it'd be kind of scary, though, too, because they are super crushable.
Dude, it's really dangerous to have it on top, because every time I walk by, I just fill my glass. Yeah. Like, I don't wait until it's finished. Yeah. So I'm like, how many have I had? I don't know. Like 17 and a half.
Why is the keg empty?
Yeah. I know this one, I brew bigger batches of it. So I make 15 gallons at a time that I can just have one big keg that just lasts for a long time. But
still, you still have the randoms pulling up for
all the time. Yes. All the time. Yeah.
So, that's awesome. Yeah. And that, honestly,
the neighbors all know they're welcome.
Oh yeah.
So
if I was here, I would just pop by. I would just drive by and see, like, oh, garage is open.
Yeah. Well, that's the sign too. They're like, hey, okay, send all the kids out to go play in the cul-de-sac, because I can sit right here and see all the kids. And we just sit out here and shoot the shit.
That's so awesome.
Yep. It works.
Oh yeah. And we're talking about social media a little bit. We're like, you know, Beer Babe family, and it's just, it's kind of crazy to me how, and we talked about it a little bit, but off air, but it's crazy to me how, like, you can have the most random reel that you make and it just, like, gets 7,000 views, 8,000 views, stuff like that.
So frustrating.
Yeah. And then you're like, that one wasn't even that good. And then you put out one and you're like, oh man, this one's kick ass. I love this one. This one's going to hit, and nothing.
Yep. Dude, it makes no sense. And I've confused my audience too, because I've been just focusing on homebrewing for so long. That's who I interact with. That's who I follow. That's who follows me.
Yeah.
And now that I'm focusing more on the pro side as a consultant, it's just been really frustrating. I don't think the algorithm knows what to do with me. So they're like, no, you just go sit in the corner. We don't know who you're trying to reach. And so it's been dead. But on that same note, I'd much rather have, you know, 4,000 followers that care.
Yeah,
that
are dedicated.
That
want
to know the information that I'm putting out, or want to be entertained with the kind of humor that I have.
Yeah.
You know, beer-related humor, instead of, you know, 20,000 followers that don't give a crap. So the number isn't so much a bummer. It's more the quality of that following.
For sure.
So fortunately, most people like beer. So even on the pro side, if it's putting out, you know, hey, I'm telling you how to, you know, do XYZ technique so that you can make more beer with less money put in, I think that kind of hits both sides. So
it's
the core tenets of my consulting work. So it's, you know, more profit for less investment. Hi Luna.
Hi Luna. Luna came in to hang out.
My brew dog.
More
profit for less input, and not driving yourself crazy running a business by trying to do everything by yourself. Because that's what I see a lot of brewers do, is they get burnt out and then they lose the joy of brewing. They fall into bad patterns. And the biggest hit usually comes in the most basic areas of brewing. Yeah. So they're not checking the pH of their sanitizer, or like, and it's just really basic things. And then a batch goes bad and they're like, shit, I know how to prevent that.
Yeah.
I just didn't do it because I got lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks to see. And it makes perfect sense, because no single human can keep track of all of those aspects of running a nano brewery,
of course,
on their own. And so I constantly stress, you know, like standard operating procedures, make sure that you're keeping track of your cost of goods sold, make better deals with suppliers and distributors, and, you know, spend time selling instead of washing kegs. Bring on an intern or something that can do that busy work for you. So it's always low hanging fruit, but it's important to help them. And so yeah, that's my biggest goal with the social media, is to just get my like message out there. Like,
of
hey,
course, yeah,
these are basic things. Let me come in for one day and I just want to watch your process. I want to see how you're doing it. I want to see how you're keeping your books, and I'll be sure to find at least something that you can add to your next 6 months and see if that helps.
Yeah.
So I want them to have just absolute joy on brew day. Like, dude. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't wait. We're going to do this. They're super excited about it. And I want to see that spark of joy when they're handing that pint to somebody over the bar. And so that's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the things I loved when I talked to Nick from Humble C, like he said, like when I asked him, like when he first opened the brewery, when was that like kind of come to Jesus moment where you're like, man, like this is actually happening. And he was just like, he's like, when it all kind of felt real was that first day that they opened and he saw someone enjoying his beer.
Oh, dude. Such a good feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and like, I can only imagine what that means, like, you know, what that means for you. Like, even the first time we hung out, the first time I came over, and I was like, you know, and I tried your beer, and then we tried other beer from, you know, over here, like Crow and Wolf and a few other ones. And it was just like, but just trying yours, I was like, you know, I can only imagine what joy that brings you, knowing that you're making a quality product. And obviously, you're clearly amazing at what you do.
Amazing. I'm good enough.
But I mean, no, man, like honestly, like I'm not, you know, because I, you know me, I'm a pretty honest dude.
Yeah.
Like I'm not gonna bullshit. I'm like, I'm not gonna just give everybody big fat tens and stuff like that on my scoring or anything like that. But I'm also not the guy that like, I'm not like Untappd where I'm gonna go to a brewery and be like, oh, this isn't really my style, try it and give it a one.
Yeah. Oh, it's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I know. And I feel, but I just feel bad for brewery, because it just messes up their, you know, their scoring and all that sort of
stuff. Remember that website, Hot or Not?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, the most humbling shit ever. I used to post, I'd make a profile for my buddies in the barracks in the Army. Oh, damn. And just go in, they and I would be like, hey, everybody go on there and give them like absolute zeros. Like, we had fake profiles for all, like, it was all like random pictures of chicks and stuff.
Oh,
so
geez.
He'd just like, we'd show them and we're like, here, look, we put you up, and all these chicks say that you're a total zero.
You're 0.0.
Sorry, bro. I probably caused some mental trauma there that I should feel bad about, but I don't.
You know, it's just, honestly, when it's your buddies, like, you know, we all fuck.
So that's a good old fashioned trolling.
Yeah. It's ribbon and all that good stuff. Man, if you'd have cans of that right now, I'd probably take a bunch of them.
So I'll can some up for you.
Oh, fucking sweet. Yeah. That'd be awesome. Oh, dude, that's freaking killer, man. And I love it because, like I said, I'm not trying to keep harping on you or anything like that, but dude, 6.5, and it's a West Coast, and you get to, it's completely crushable. And even that, like you said, that head is still, there's still head there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, foam is key. So getting that head right.
Yeah.
One, so basically it's a colloidal mesh of proteins that are coming out of suspension and trapping the CO2. So when you dig your nose into a glass, if you've got even just like a little cap of foam like we've got now, all those little CO2 bubbles are exploding aroma into it. And so I don't know what the percentage is, but 70% of flavor comes from your olfactory system. Yeah. So when you're retrohaling and like as you're breathing right now, you're still tasting that beer that comes from that. And so head is super important to get right. And I think we nailed it on this one.
For sure.
But yeah, so that's, again, that comes back to the brewing salts that we added, the temperatures that we're mashing at and all of that stuff. So
yeah,
there's a little bit of science behind it.
Luna just wants to hang out today. Hi, Luna. Hi. Hi. Sorry for all the listeners. There's, you know.
She's my brew dog.
Oh, yeah. No, she's so freaking cute. What breed?
Terrier mix, but she's mostly Whippet.
Okay.
Yeah. So if she took off right now, she spots that cat down the cul-de-sac.
Gone.
I will never be able to catch her. So I'm actually going to go let her into the house now.
There you go. All right. And we're back.
A lot of interruptions today.
Oh, so, hey,
it's a brew day.
There you go. We got to do what we got to do.
Brew day is the best day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, get to make a beer. And I'm, you know, I've never done it before. This is my first time. And being able to just be a part of it with you means the world to me, man.
But it's a lot more simple than one would think, right? Like, what do you think about the process?
100%.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking, like, man, what do you do here? What do you do there? And, like, you know, you walking me through everything or even you showing me that thing on your phone where like you talked about the gravity and all that sort of stuff. And now it's like starting to click.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, well that makes sense. Cause we talked about if it was 7 gallons, it might be a lower ABV based on that. And then if it was like, you know, 5 gallons, it might be right where you kind of want it.
Right.
So,
yep. So there's math and science that goes behind it, but once you understand the process, it's really simple.
Yeah.
So as when I talk to consulting clients, we talk about the brew house being a money printer.
Yeah.
We turn, say at a 10 barrel level, we'll take $800 worth of ingredients and we produce $2,500 worth of finished product.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's labor, utilities and all the other stuff that comes out of that. But when it really comes down to it, like a brew day is just converting grains and hops into final beer. And so knowing the steps, that's the easy part. Making good beer is totally just the ticket to entry into the craft beer world.
Mm-hmm.
Running a quality business is a whole other ballgame.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I can't tell you how many times as home brewers we think like, oh, dude, I want to do this full time. I want to be beer. And then it comes down like, oh, you've got TTB, you've got taxes, you've got employees, HR issues.
Yeah.
All of the things that come down and it catches people off guard. And so if anything, I want to educate people like before they get into it, like, are you prepared to do this or do you have somebody that can partner with you to handle those things so that you can just be production? So, it's always a sobering conversation. But at the same time, it's very important because otherwise you get into it, you start a nano, you know, you're making 5 barrels at a time and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I have an entire afternoon of keg washing ahead of me. Like I did not expect this because you just don't deal with that as a home brewer and you don't actually think through the logistics of what is it actually going to look like to file quarterly taxes and make sure that I'm accounting for everything right.
Paying
and
Uncle then, Sam.
Yeah, dude, it's there's a lot that goes into it and the beer making itself is not the hard part.
Yeah.
It's all the other stuff.
Of course. And one of the things that, when I do talk to brewers and it's usually like, it's like 80 to 90% of the stuff is cleaning and then it gets 10% fun.
Yeah. So,
but if you're that committed to it and you love it that much, you know, you'll do it.
And really a whole cleaning day, like yesterday, for example, like I made a couple of batches of hop water. They're sitting right there.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like work. I'm out here. It feels like tinkering, like a mechanic enjoying working on his muscle car, whatever. Yeah. Like it's just, I'm doing what I do and I know what needs to be done and it just flows. So I'm listening to podcasts and music and jamming out and just hanging out. And that's my alone time. And, It's excellent.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm sure it's like, you know, therapeutic for you, and you just kind of, because you're unwinding and you get to do something you love.
100%.
And yep. It doesn't feel like a job. You get to just do that, and then you get to have your finished product later on, and it's like, you know, that's...
Yep. That's so pretty badass. I look forward to Hazards kicking off and hopefully taking me full-time with that, because there's nothing I'd rather do than go do a round of golf somewhere pitch, you know, carrying us at XYZ golf course.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's not beer, which I know is ironic because I've spent the last decade as a brewer.
Yeah.
And I'm making a non-alcoholic product, but it's like rapidly growing. Folks want it.
Yeah.
And actually, we're going to switch to that next. Do you want to try some?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah. All right. So we got some hop water. I got to try the grapefruit. And it is fire. Bubbly, all the other stuff. Because, I mean, yeah, you get that hops, but it's not like the hops are like, or like, you're not getting like those bitter flavors. It's all that grapefruit flavor is punching you in the face. Not punching you in the face, but it's in your face. And that's what, like, if you're going to put, I always say, like, if there's a flavor on there, it says, oh, there's grapefruit in it, it better taste like grapefruit.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is, yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, this one is really good. It's really easy to make because grapefruit is such a powerful flavor, so it doesn't really take a lot of it. And we're using all natural flavors, so it's like extracted from actual grapefruits. It's not some chemical weirdness. And yeah, you still get a little bit of bitter backbone, but it's not like an IPA bitter. It's just there. Hop aroma is a big deal.
Oh yeah, it's all up in there.
Especially because folks are going to be drinking this on golf courses out of cans. And so you can't bury your nose in a glass. And so you want to be able to crack it open and just really know, like, oh, there's definitely hops in this. And so this one's all Citra. Just a little bit of grapefruit flavoring goes a long way. And yeah, carbonate it really high, like 3 volumes instead of like beer would be at 2.8. This is like 3.5, which makes it really effervescent.
Oh, yeah.
Just like LaCroix would be. So that was my goal, is kind of to make LaCroix but with hops instead of, you know, the natural flavorings that they're using. So yeah, again, 0% ABV, perfectly healthy. Hops themselves have antimicrobial, antibacterial, like they're good for you. So I'm really excited about it.
Came awesome. Good. No, you killed it. Yeah. And what other flavors do you guys have? I know you have a couple. Was it lime
mint? Yep, lime and mint. So that's our kind of nojito kind of flavor.
Awesome.
Passion fruit, and then just the classic Citra. So no flavorings at all. So those are the four that we went to market with. And still refining the lime and mint. I'm working with a couple of different vendors to figure out how to make it as natural and clean as possible, because I'd love to be able to mark that, you know, non-GMO,
all
that stuff. And we're getting close. We're getting close. So, yeah.
Awesome.
But the way that we're making it now, everybody's happy with it too, so we're good.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's pretty exciting.
Sick. Yeah.
It's a fun product. It's new. It's growing. I mean, LaCroix itself... I saw something where they were on the market for like 10 years before sparkling waters really caught trend. But new generations are coming out. We're looking for non-alcoholic options, but we still want to have fun.
Yeah, of course.
So we're hoping to catch that wave on the early stage and then just watch it, you know, go for it. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
And where are we at in the brew stage now?
Right now, we've knocked out, which means we've turned the heater off. We're done with our boil. We chilled the wort down to under 90.
Yep.
And in the background, you can hear the glycol chiller doing its thing, and it's going to get us down to 68 degrees, which is our temperature where that yeast is going to be happiest.
Yep.
So before you leave, you'll get to pitch that yeast into the fermenter. And in front of you is a glass of the wort that we just created today. So cheers to that. This is unfermented beer, so there's no alcohol in this.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see, it's really clear.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And happy. There's a ton of clarity.
The color, I kind of wish it was more brown.
Yeah.
But I think that some of that will also come through in the final beer.
Yeah.
And so, Either way, this is going to be a good brown ale. You can smell it. It's sweet. It's really sweet. That's all the sugars and the carbohydrates that are in there.
Oh, yeah.
There's still a little bit of bitterness, right? And so the yeast is going to eat all of that sugar, and so the sweetness will be completely gone by the end. But this the gravity was spot on, so we hit 1055, which is going to make a 5.5% final product.
Nailed it.
And just, brew day was as simple and clean. We didn't make any messes.
Yeah.
Look at that. So, yeah.
What a day.
It was a freaking brew day.
This is a dream.
So now you've, short of like the yeast finishing, so that'll take like 10 days, and then kegging and carbonating, you've made beer.
Yeah.
Now you can tell people that that's in your repertoire of things that you've done.
To quote Bill Pullman from Independence Day, the son of a bitch did it.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, man. But this has been so fun. And I'm staring over at because I know the glycol machine's going, but I'm staring at that temp because it was around, 87? Now it's dropped it to about
80. It's already at 80. Yeah.
It's getting there.
So 15 more minutes and she'll be at 68. We'd be safe to pitch these now.
Yeah.
I just like just giving it the perfect home for it to do its thing. Yeah. And that's our job as brewers, to give the yeast every chance of succeeding. So that's with nutrients and making sure that the wort is made properly. That's our job.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, we're about an hour in. I mean, we've had a few pauses, but it's been so fun. And I was telling you off air, but I was honestly super stoked about this. And that's why, the last time when you mentioned it, I was like, oh yeah, we planned a day for November and I was able to get up here and
made it.
I'm just super thankful, man. Really appreciate it, because it's a dream come true for me.
So. Yep. It's fun to be joined, because usually I'm just out here by myself farting around on the internet while I'm waiting for things to happen.
Then we get to do this too. We have to sit here and talk and turn the microphones on and have a good old time, hang out with Luna a little bit.
It is the way.
Yeah. This is the way. But I appreciate it, brother. And so we'll round it out here, and that'll do it. I appreciate everybody that listens. Make sure you follow Ryan at Big Pop Brewing on Instagram. Make sure you follow his wife at The Traveling Hansons on Instagram as well. For all your travel needs, she'll teach you all the good stuff.
And she's hot, so.
Oh, well, then there you go. Yeah, and make sure if you're ever in the Clovis area, because last time we tried, I had Machine Head. Mm-hmm. Holy crap, their beer was phenomenal. Crow and Wolf was amazing. We had your beer. Did we have any other brewery's beer last
week? I think we had South of Shaw. They're fantastic. So, Summer Fox is a good one to visit. Yeah. So there's quite a few good breweries
awesome
in this area. So, and just hit me up. I'll do the tour for you.
Yeah, there we go. Going a little pub crawl.
Yep.
It'd be like a, I was going to say like, it'd be like a, what's even slower than a crawl, but I don't even know.
A slither.
There you go. Yeah, close enough. All right. Well, thanks again, brother. I appreciate you being on the show.
Yep.
Hey, guys. It's Drea from Louie's Liquor in Azusa. Just wanted to get on here and let you all know what's new in shop this week. What just landed is the Arizona Hard Teas. We have those available in 24-ounce cans as well as party packs, and as well as variety party packs. We also got in Appalachian Sipping Cream, Eggo Brunch in a Jar. It's going to taste like waffles and syrup. Super delicious. We also have our new private batch with Tequila Cabal, 100% Agave Azul. It's an Añejo, aged 24 months in Buffalo Trace bourbon barrels. It's going to be super delicious. You're going to taste all of the notes from the barrel. We also got in new craft beer. We brought in a bunch of new stuff from Mason Ale Works, Radiant Brewing Company, Adroit Theory, from Virginia. We also got our new, let's talk about the Christmas tree buckets. We have two colors available, green Christmas tree and a red Christmas tree. Party bucket comes in various flavors. We also have our party mixer buckets. Come on down to Louie's Liquor Azusa. Come check out our holiday buckets, our Pelon buckets, our single serve buckets. We also have our handheld dispensing buckets with an attached straw. We also have the party fuck it buckets that dispense. So come on down, check it out. Come see what's new. We still have available a few bottles left of Nelly's Moshine Peach and Passion Fruit. We have a few bottles, autograph bottles left, I should say. So come on down, check it out. As well, we always have a big assortment or big variety of champagnes and wines for all of your holiday get-togethers.
Okay. Yeah, so we're at Lost Winds in Sacramento. I had the Blood Orange. It's called Aloha Friends. It's like a 9.9 or something like that. It's really strong. Okay. It's for a seltzer. I mean, it's what I order. So I'm a big dog. That's what I order here. It's really good. Yeah, it's really light. It's really fresh. It's like a 9.9, probably like a 12.4. No, it's really good. I'm enjoying this one. Earlier, I ordered it on name alone. It's called Happy Birthday, Baby Jesus. It was a red ale. It was okay. And after that, I had the I had the Belgian Blonde. That was okay too. But so far, this has been my favorite. It's seltzer and it's pretty good. But too bad it's fucking cold out here. But yeah, that's good. Lost Winds, that's my review. Oh, this one, the Aloha Friends. I'd probably give it probably like an 8.7. Nice. The Happy Birthday Baby Jesus, I'd probably give it probably like a 6.4. And the Blonde, I'd give the Blonde probably like a 7.2. So far, the seltzer is my favorite beer so far we've had here. So yeah, and now we're just waiting for our pizza and maybe someone will adopt a dog. So here we go.
Wait. Friar's triple, right?
So what about the other ones you had? The mango?
Don't give me a review on that.
Ready?
Is it rolling? We're rolling. Hey, we're at Lost Winds today, Lost Winds Brewery.
All right, no, you're good.
I have some napkins, you guys.
Oh, thank you.
What's up, guys? We're here at Lost Winds in San Clemente, enjoying a beautiful, kind of cold Saturday. We got pizza going and beer reviews going. I have the Friar's Triple, T-R-I-P-P-L-E. We're going to jump right in. 9.5, I think it is. Right on the note, huh?
Stronger than
Nav.
Apparently, Nav is
9.9. Well, Nav went a weaker side. it's a kid show. 9.5 on the nose, traditional Belgian. Like you're smelling like an Omegang beer and Duvel beer. Here we go. Really good. I'm getting like orange peel, coriander, like a typical Belgian. I respect the beer. I respect the pizza. Here at Lost Winds, they're having a dog adoption thing today. And my wife said, fuck off, you can't get one. So Navi's going to do the review on the... Oh, you did it. You already did it. Mike's going to do his review.
I can't remember what it's called, but it's the American Lager. can't be too high. I'll talk about it after in the intro. But the head retention on this motherfucker, so the food came out, and we've been sitting here eating, and the head has not moved. So the head retention on this American lager is pristine. Jump in. Oh, man. That's pretty solid. And even there, I took a drink, and the head's still there. I mean, it was a solid 8.5. Lost Winds did it again. Hopefully... Tina decides to, you know, get Jake a dog for Christmas. But yeah, there it is.
All right, guys. So I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Like I said, I had a blast doing it, you know, hanging out with Ryan. Obviously, I get to hang out with, you know, my brother and all that sort of stuff too, and Nav and T and, you know, over at Lost Winds. But some honestly, some really good beers. All right. Well, like I said, I hope you guys enjoyed it. Next week is the Lahara Brewing episode with Jason and Derek. That should be a good one. Also, next Sunday, I'm going to go record with Ian McCall
Orit-ism. So I am super stoked about that. Can't wait for that. And then the weekend of the 17th will be the LA Brew Life episode. All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys take care and hope you guys have a good week. Stay classy, Tap Fan.